All right, so today I want to begin that series of messages that I titled The Fruitful Life. I don't know how long we'll be on it, but I want to lay some very important foundations for understanding life, all right? You know, in fact, I was already preparing to do this teaching when a friend of mine and I, we had a discussion, all right, a few days ago. And there was something I said, and we kind of had a small disagreement, though we didn't sit on it to discuss it for any length of time. And that, I just realized that, look, this thing I'm going to teach is very important. I wish he was around to hear what I want to explain, though, because I wasn't able to go into a proper explanation of the thing that we said. And I want you to please follow me attentively. I want you to understand life, all right? Let me say something. There's something I want you to bear in mind. You know, the most important thing that happened to mankind, listen to this, was what? The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once creation was effected and all the things of life began, the singular most important thing that God did on this earth was to bring Jesus onto the earth. I hope you're following what I'm saying. And that's why, even though human beings may not all like him, you may claim that some people have not heard about him. You may say that there are 1 billion people who are Muslims on the earth. You can say what you like. We all count our dates surrounding his birth. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you don't count your date like that, you will be out of whack. Do you understand? I know in the Islamic world, they have 2 sets of dates, but they have to have 2. That is, they have their own dates, and then they have the common date that's around the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a physical manifestation of the fact that that's the most important thing that God did on this earth. Please, I want you to understand that, all right? But why did he do that, all right? I'm not going to go into details about the coming of Jesus Christ and all of that, but I want you to understand the most important product of the coming of the Lord Jesus is the new creation in Christ Jesus. The person who believed. The Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave what? The power to become sons or children of God. That was the most important thing he came to achieve. Are you getting my point? Whether we know it or not, whether we have been taught or we have come to accept it or not, listen to this. You, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you are very different from a common person. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Please, we must bear that one in mind. Because, you see, like I told you, I don't like being critical. I don't even like looking like Mr. Know-All. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because as a matter of fact, I don't know everything. But one thing I know for sure is that there has been a lot, and it happens cyclically, there has been a lot of pollution of the truth of God in the body of Christ. So a lot of things that we teach ourselves are not actually the word of God. Now, let me tell you something. There are 3 levels to truth I want to bring out for us today. There is a general... No, let me put it like this. There's a physical level. Let me give an example. If I work very hard, I will earn something. Do you understand my point? You talk about the law of sowing and reaping in the material level. But there is a second set of rules on the earth. And they are spiritual laws. Now listen to me. Spiritual laws are just as effective. They are just as accurate as the physical laws of physics. You know, everything that goes up must come down. If a Christian throws it up, what happens? It comes down. If a Muslim throws it up, what happens? It comes down. Those are the laws of life, physical laws of life. Now, spiritually, those laws are exactly like that also. Now, there are many of them. Again, we take this law of sowing and reaping, which is very popular in the body of Christ today. So let me use that as an example. If indeed you sow, you will indeed reap. And that's a matter of fact. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, just by the way, it didn't say when a man sows money, he gets money. Spiritual laws don't accept physical seed. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Just like you cannot sow goodwill onto your farm and expect goodwill to grow as a tree. In the same manner, you cannot throw money into the realm of the spirit and expect money to rain from heaven. It doesn't happen. It is not correct for somebody to say that if you want money, you sow money. If you say that, your understanding is not accurate. What you sow into the realm of the spirit is spiritual. So you sow mercy. What do you get? You get mercy. You sow kindness. What do you get? You get kindness. Now, mercy may show up as money. So I may show mercy to the person who's needy, and I give him 100 naira to go and buy a meal. I have not sown 100 naira into the realm of the spirit. I have sown mercy into the realm of the spirit. So when God wants to pay mercy, mercy may not be money when you need it. Like I always say, mercy can be deliverance from death. Mercy can be healing. Are you following what I'm saying? Mercy can be breakthrough somewhere. You wanted admission into university or a job somewhere, and you get it. That could be the mercy. Are you following my point? But this is what I want to bring out there. The spiritual laws also work like this. If a Muslim performs them, they work. If a Christian performs them, they work. That's just life. The fact that you can't see them doesn't mean they are not real. If a Muslim or a Hindu, a Guru Maharaji follower, throws his coin into the air, it either lands head or tail. If a Christian does that, it lands head or tail. Are you getting my point? Those are physical laws. In the same manner, when we go into the realm of the spirit, those spiritual laws work exactly like that. Now, let me ask you a question. If that's the limit to life, why did Jesus die? Then Christ died needlessly. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. Therefore, let me use this one to shock you into being awake to hear me, this series. If somebody says, all I need to do is give and I'll be rich, and the same Lord we say applies to Muslims, I don't have to be a Christian to make it in life. There is no advantage to my faith concerning prosperity, therefore. Because if you go around and brag and say, these are the same laws Muslims use, and we Christians don't know it, like I always say, I don't need it. That means it doesn't affect my faith. My faith does not affect it. You see where I'm drawing it? Physical laws apply to everybody. That's the first set. Then there's what I call common spiritual laws. That's what I just described. They apply to everybody also. So these are moral laws. These are the things that we can't see them physically, but they exist. They control our lives. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are some spiritual laws that apply to everybody also. Last of all, the third set of laws is what I want to bring. In fact, it's a single law. It's called the law of the spirit of life. And that is only found in Christ Jesus. Outside Jesus, it does not exist. Listen, I said I'm discussing the fruitful life. And this is actually what I want to discuss. You can put it as a subtitle. How Christians get results in life. All these laws, they apply to everybody. What I'm trying to say is that just like common physical laws apply to everybody, we have common spiritual laws that apply to everybody. But that's not what Christianity is. Are you getting my point? Most of those common physical spiritual laws, they come out as wisdom in life. You go to the book of Proverbs, there are plenty. Are you getting what I'm saying? He will give you common, simple wisdom, basic wisdom about life. He will tell you that, my son, don't follow the man in his wicked ways. Eventually, he'll be caught in his own trap. He will tell you, please, don't go aside with an adulteress. Because jealousy is dangerous, the way he will explain it. He will tell you that, look at the lazy man. A little sleep, a little slumber. That's how his poverty comes. Now, see, get my point. They are not as if they are evil things in life. I'm not saying they are wrong laws of life. Just like I can throw something up and I expect it to come down. But there are times when Christianity sets in. Listen to this. And I step on water. Contrary to the laws of nature, I don't sink. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. And that's what I want to bring out. That there are things that work in the life of the believer and they are not common. Nobody can tell me that it was the same thing Muslims operate and they're getting results. Once you say that, I lose interest. Once you say that, instantly, I lose interest. I'm not interested in that which is common. Jesus didn't die to make my life the same as that of a Muslim. He didn't die so that the Guru Maharaji follower and I, we operate the same principles in life and we get the same results, and the only difference is when one goes to heaven, the other one doesn't go to heaven. No. 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 Actually, this is what happens. In fact, I will develop it further before I start telling you all the things that happened. All right? Let me just introduce what I want to explain. So we are discussing, I've explained that there are three sets of laws. But what we are sitting on, all right, is that law of the spirit of life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Again, like I said, I don't like to be critical, but then when something is very common, it's easy to use it to explain things to people. That's why they come and say that, look, the way by which you prosper as a Christian is to give. This is a common law. Now, listen, it's not wrong, but it's a common law. A Christian's prosperity, listen to me and listen to me clearly. Let me say it again. A Christian's prosperity is not dependent upon his giving. Go and quote me that Pastor Banky said, I'm not prospering because I give. I'm not giving that I might prosper. Let me summarize it and prove it to you quickly, all right? I prospered the moment I was born again before I gave anything. What more do I need to use to prove it to you? The instant I gave my life to Christ, God poured the oil of prosperity on my head. I had not given anything materially. Like Paul said, therefore, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? No. The difference is what we are chasing in life. One man is giving because he wants to prosper. If I don't give, it is what? Sin. I don't know whether you follow what I'm going to explain. That is, it's my nature to do it. I have to work hard not to do it. The only reason why I won't do it is because I am now walking in unbelief. That is, my inability to give is a sign that I have denied my faith. Are you getting the point I'm making? I hope you are following me. Listen, I told you something before. It's a proverb from Yoruba land. They said, when you see an adult running, it's one of two things. Either he's chasing something, or something is chasing him. What I'm trying to explain is this. Two people may be doing the same thing for two completely different motivations. Are you getting my point? They will be doing the same thing, but what is propelling them is different. That is why, if you give because you are afraid of the devourer, you are a sinner. If you tithe because otherwise the devourer is coming to get you, you don't know Jesus Christ. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what the Bible meant when it said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why are you doing what you are doing? I always get carried away when I get into these money issues because it's so common in the body of Christ. I hardly watch Christian TV these days, you know my Christian TV, TBN, stuff like that, because I'm tired. Every time I flip the channel, somebody's trying to explain to me that this is my key to prosperity. I turn off the TV. Say simply, we are broadcasting the gospel around the world. We need money. This gospel is good. It's right to need money. There's nothing wrong with supporting the broadcasting of the gospel around the world. Don't tell me that the reason why you are on is because you want to show me a key to prosperity. Sometimes it borders on being crafty. Yeah, you're lying. The person who put you on stage briefed you before you came that we need $6.5 million. Trust me, those who know me know. I will grab the microphone and say, praise God. Before I came here, I was told that we need $6.5 million. Before I start my message, can we quickly collect $6.5 million? I won't go there. and tell him, as I was about to step in here, you know, the Spirit began to speak to me, and I began to wonder, what does the Lord want me to say to these people? And he said, there is a breakthrough. There is a message. You know, when I started, I flipped the channel. You're not being honest. What is simple honesty? Oh boy. Guys, we need money. We need money. If you guys don't bring the money, do you want me to go and beg a Muslim? Oh yeah, everybody, everybody, shake your pocket right now. Okay, you don't have it here. Go home, go home. I'll wait. Okay, you can't go home. After today's message, bring the money tomorrow. It's a matter of fact that God will bless you. Are you getting my point? It is a matter of fact. Like I told you, these spiritual laws are what? They may be common, but they are real. But like I always say, the law of sowing and reaping is not an incentive for giving for a Christian. It is an encouragement for a giving soul. Are you getting my point? Because sometimes giving may appear to be tiring. Let's not be weary of doing good, because doing good can make you get tired. I hope you are following the point I'm making. It's very important. So you see, why a Christian does what he does, a believer that gives, I'm not discussing giving now, the motivation is very different. And it is not right for me as a Christian to bring you that have the Spirit of Christ in you low to the level of the man who doesn't have the Spirit of Christ. Let me dispense of it again, so that it will help a lot of people. A lot of jokes along the line that came to the body of Christ is, as you are giving your offering, give it a name. Say, this offering, you are going to go forth and bring me a car. This offering, you are going to go forth and bring me a wife. This offering, you are going to go forth and get me a husband. It's a joke. A lot of people who preach it don't realize it's not right. We should correct ourselves. You know how Christians get wives and husbands? Shall I tell you? They pray. Shall I tell you how they get prosperity in life? They pray. Should I tell you how they get any material things they want in life? They ask. You have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you are asking wrongly for the right motives. Dear Lord, my husband must come this year. After all, Jennifer has married. After all, Amaka has married. After all, Jane has married. Am I the only one? God said, you are not ready yet. Because all this one you are asking is competition. You are not ready. Lord, I need a car. Last time we went out, we were all trekking. Today, Chukubike bought one. Yesterday, this person bought one. I am now the only one when we meet amongst my friends. Are you not putting your name to shame? God said, I'm not ashamed. Don't worry. I like it like that. You should be worried about me. Don't worry now. I like it like that. If you want to ask me for something, ask. Say, dear Lord, I'm tired of trekking. You know? And he said to man, now man, let me enjoy some things. It's nice. That's all. Or my business will be more efficient. That's a good one. Say, Lord, you know, I did this one. Many years ago. Cars were so, and people say country is bad. Now, I don't know this country they live in. You know? You forgotten when country was bad. Relative to what will end, cars were so expensive that I didn't even have the boldness to be praying about it. I don't know what I'm saying. So, I told the Lord, as for trekking, I have no problem. But can I beg you for a favor? If you want me to suffer, let me just suffer alone. Once you give me a wife, you get to bless me. That was all I said. I said, Lord, once you give me a wife, you have to bless me. Because, all right, suffering alone is okay with me. I have no problem. But once you now bring somebody else, the blessings of God they get to make rich. That's what the Bible says. That's why I prayed my own prayer. Now, please, I'm trying to introduce my message. So I want you to understand this thing. There are different laws in life. And the fact that somebody gets up and teaches you some common laws, and they supposedly work, doesn't mean it's Christianity. Are you getting my point? That's why some of these things that Jesus said, somebody said it, John G. Lake, I was reading him and explained, that some of them, men 300 years before him said them, because they were correct. They were common laws. But when Jesus died, he introduced something into the earth which Paul called the power of his resurrection, which men wanted to attain. When you hear people say, what must we do to gain eternal life? Let me ask you a question. The man who came to Jesus to ask that question, did you ever ask yourself what else he needed? Because the Bible said he was young, he was a ruler, and he was very rich. What am I saying? He had operated all the common laws and had become very prosperous. They told him about the laws of Moses. I've operated everything. But what I'm looking for, Moses couldn't give it to anybody. I can operate the common laws that produce prosperity. And when you buy most books on earth, that's what they are teaching you, both physical and spiritual. Are you getting my point? So that's what I want to understand. The man came to Jesus and said, I want to gain eternal life. Obviously, all the things he had achieved, all right, eternal life was not amongst them. Even though he had become rich, he had become prosperous, he had operated the common laws and things were working for him in that regard. Yet, he did not have that eternal life. And what am I explaining? When Jesus came, he brought that height, that third level of laws. In fact, a single law, which the Bible calls the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What am I explaining today? I'm beginning this series of teachings titled The Fruitful Life. What I really want to explain is how Christians actually get results. Along the line, I may say some things here and there that involve common laws. Because the fact that you're operating by the law of the spirit of life does not mean you go around breaking common laws. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why I said earlier that are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Are you getting what I'm explaining? But grace actually is what we use. What is grace? I want to use somebody's definition. He said, what is grace? Grace is everything that God does for people because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Did you hear that? That anything that God does for you because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what is called grace. Not because you worked hard. Not because you gave. Not because you operated any of the common laws. But anything that comes into your life purely because of what Jesus did. He said that is what grace is. And listen, the aim of the gospel, as far as this existence is concerned, is so that grace may abound in your life. Quickly, open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. I will read that and I'm not going to do my main text for the day. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to show you something there. He introduced himself in verse 1. And then in verse 2, he said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power, and that's also grace, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He said, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now let me just quickly read that and highlight a few things for us here. This is a summary of what grace is. Peter said, this is what I want for you. This is where how your life will count. Grace be multiplied to you. In answer, this is the way by which the grace comes. It comes in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that in this knowledge, what you will discover are the precious promises. Are you getting me? All right, which he granted to us. And that is, it is with those promises, listen, coupled with our faith, that we discover the release of the divine nature that is inside us. Are you getting the point I'm trying to explain? That is, you know, moral laws, physical laws and our secondary moral laws that we talked about, they bring forth into your life principles by which you can operate. Are you getting what I'm explaining? Like we give an example, sow and reap. Even the one, show mercy, you obtain mercy, stuff like that. But there is one in which the Bible says, just know about this, believe it and I pour it into your life. You don't have to do anything. I don't know whether you get the point I'm going to make. Listen, only Christianity gives you that. Only Jesus brought that into your life, that your life transforms. All right? You are changed simply by the power of something that you know. Listen. there's something that one man of God said once. Now, it may appear like an extreme. All right? But I like the illustration of it. He said, it amazes him when women say they can't conceive and they are living with their husbands. He said, if I were a woman, I wouldn't even need a man to conceive. Sounds funny. His proof, he said, because the Bible says, listen, that the Holy Ghost will overshadow her and therefore she will conceive. He said, listen, when the Holy Ghost overshadows you, you conceive. I don't know whether you get the point. Now, it appears like an extreme, but listen to me, such things, they are not totally extremes. Listen to me, it may not be with the bringing forth of a physical child. There are many things that will come into your life purely on such ridiculous, in quote, premises. But why did that happen in the life of Mary? Because there was a word that said, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Are you getting my point? That is, there was a precious promise, a magnificent promise that brought something into life that was against the natural order. I told you many years ago, I did some research. What was superior about my Christianity? So amongst the books I read many books. Amongst the ones I read were the 3 volumes, In the Light of Truth by Abdrushin, The Grail Message. And after reading The Grail Message, you know, I was much younger than I am right now. I laughed to myself. As anybody following this doesn't know anything. This is just a summary of nice moral laws. Because of the lack of understanding of what Christianity represents, he made a statement. He said, people said Jesus was born of a virgin. He said it's against the laws of life. It doesn't happen. Therefore, the conception of Jesus is not as reported in the Bible or as believed by the Christians. That the fact, he gave a name. I don't want to embarrass you now by telling you the thing he said. He said Jesus was essentially born of an illegitimate relationship. I wasn't offended. I see people get offended. It doesn't offend me. Have you ever gone on the road before? You see all these guys who walk naked? They are called lunatics. Has any one of them ever come to you before and said, Waka Shig, no go better for you? And you get offended. I don't know whether I get my point. If Chris Mann, they abuse you, you hasten your feet, your motion, lest the guy changes the abuse to carrying of stones. You don't get offended. You understand? If they gave you the opportunity to treat him and cure him of all his madness, what do? You cure him. When an ignorant man is saying Jesus was a bastard child, I laugh. Don't be angry with him. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. What he doesn't understand, that there are magnificent promises that make life look upside down. Are you getting my point? That there is a promise that makes you stone a man, check, you are sure he's dead, then you leave. Then the man gets up, dusts his clothes, and walks after you. That's what happened to Paul. Are you getting my point? That there is a promise. These are not moral issues. In which a venomous serpent comes out and bites a man. That the locals said that this snake is so poisonous. We know this man must really be a murderer. Whatever be the reason why he's in jail, he deserves it. Because even though he appears to be free now, God didn't let him go. This snake is going to kill him. And the man shook the serpent off and continued life like nothing happened. And Jesus said, none of these things will by any means hurt you. Listen to me, that is not a moral law. Are you getting my point? The moral law is that if you are bitten by a dangerous serpent, you should die. But when without any medical intervention, you live. Are you following my point? Then there is a law of life that is working beyond that, which is a common law. Are you getting my point? That's what Christianity is. So when I read that Abdrushin, it was pity. If I see someone says he's in grave message, you know, it's like somebody who has advanced in physics. And as he's a secondary school boy saying that light is not affected by any gravitational pull and then because it is just light. You just look as if I had never heard of black holes. So I wasn't, I just said this man doesn't know anything. Because I was studying and I read around. Those of us who were here, then when we did our school of Bible exegesis, I explained it. I gave out the write-up I had after my study. I sat down and wrote an article titled The Supremacy of Christ. That's what Christianity is. There is a law that is not normal. Are you getting my point? Don't tell me. No Muslim can operate it. No nominal Christian too can operate. You can't call yourself a Christian and you operate it. No, you can't. Paul explains something clearly. I want to give up. In fact, I gave up everything that I had that I might come into the understanding of this law. It's called the power of resurrection. The one that makes the dead live. There's no moral or physical law that speaks to dry bones and say, live again. Look, as we go on, we'll discuss. We didn't come to this life. Jesus didn't. Look, the plan to bring Jesus was exhaustive. It was detailed. Executed over thousands of years. It didn't leave me normal. Listen, if you need to go to a business school and learn all the business methods, operate the same written business rules to get any success in business, you haven't tapped into it yet. Like I said, those laws are not wrong. One of the things you'll understand, there are ways by which businesses, all right, operate. But there's one, they don't understand it, that I can look at a dead business and speak and not invest a dime. That I just speak and say, take an example. Lehman Brothers is out, all right? It's dead and out. Let us assume that somebody said that the stocks are still available for sale, but now it's going for 1 cent. You can buy the whole of Lehman Brothers for maybe like $100,000. And I walk up there, buy everything for $100,000 and put it down. And I say, dead bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Arise and live. And I leave it there. And then suddenly God starts sending resources here and there. After 5 years, the company is back to the original worth of maybe like 50 years ago when people still respected it. And it's increasing. And it overtakes Goldman Sachs, overtakes all the ones that government managed to prop up. And they say, what happened? Listen to me. What's his name? CNN. Quest. We never report it. Because it doesn't make sense. That the man bought the shares, kept them at home, and spoke to them. I don't know where I get my point. You can't teach that in a business school. That is a power of resurrection. I'm a doctor, right? So I know a lot about genes and all of that. I have looked at it. I said there are reasons why genes go crazy. And I discovered, listen, according to moral law, listen to me. The normal common laws. According to the normal common laws, all right? If you know the way it is, there are thousands of genes in your system. One small error here, everything is upside down. That gene can go crazy. That's why some Christians argue vehemently against, evolution. That evolution doesn't make sense. That they say spontaneous, that genes never improve spontaneously. The law of entropy, you learned it in chemistry. Things are normally haphazard. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? What am I going to explain? Genes can only get worse in subsequent generations, actually. That's a normal law. It's the law of entropy. Those of you in physics and chemistry. You know what I'm going to explain? However, there is a law of the spirit of life, which the Bible says is only available in Christ Jesus. It can rearrange genes in an instant. It can rearrange it so that it heads in another direction. Instead of getting worse, it starts getting better in subsequent generations. Are you getting my point? I said I'm introducing today how Christians get results. That is why we cannot take projections about our lives from what they say on television, from what they say in the newspapers. I told you before that there are things that must end with me. Let me explain what I mean. Nigeria is a country that has more languages than Europe has, you know what I mean, countries. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm sure how many countries are there in Europe? If you like, fragment Yugoslavia into 17 countries. They don't have as many languages as they have in Edo State. As many nations as we have languages in Edo State. What am I saying? Nigeria is a country where tribalism is a serious matter. But I told you, it ends with people. It has never crossed my mind. As God is my witness, I'm not lying to you. It has never crossed my mind that I was tribally discriminated against. The reason is because you can't. You don't have the power. You don't. God ordained me to marry your daughter. And you say, because you don't like my tribe. Okay? If I don't pray for you, I'm not joking about this, you will die. your brother will give the girl to me. I said before, I'm not joking about it. I'm a dangerous man. If I don't pray for some people, they will die. No, listen, I'm serious. If you wake up and say, I don't like that man, he's black. That's it, you just died. That is why I can't easily accept that you are discriminating against my origin. If I do, you're in trouble. What I'm doing is a matter of fact. And listen, because I know it, there's a promise over my life. There's a promise that God has given to me in Christ Jesus. Therefore, it works for me like that. I like the way God shaped my life. I'm so happy that my wife is not from the same place I came from, naturally. Like I always say, I'm from Ondo State, my wife's from Delta, my children are from Enugu State. Nobody here, they born them. You see, it's easy enough for us to say, how can? Are you not running to go and have children in America so that they can call them Americans? You see, I'm telling you, my children are from Enugu State, why are you complaining? Now, you are getting what I'm going to explain. What I'm saying here is this. They are natural things, all right? Now, in Nigeria, these things might be issues, but Banky can't accept them. Some things end with me. Even though that was your plan, once my name shows up on the list, you lose the ability instantly to discriminate against me. Otherwise, I'm sorry, you die for it. Or if you are lucky and your position is so temporary, they will remove you. Because if it's a permanent position, you got to go one way or the other. This one was born for the rising and the falling of many. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's the spirit of Christ. You've heard me say several times, I'm not a victim. You can't treat me like one. That is why if I go to a country, if I don't feel like a cleaner, I'm not going to clean for anybody. Hear me. If I couldn't clean in Nigeria, I won't clean anywhere. Not because cleaning is bad. Just the geography is not going to change me. Now, please, I hope you are getting my point. Please, understand me properly. I'm not saying cleaning is bad, though. But I won't take pride doing in America what I can't do in Nigeria. No, I won't. Why? Look, when you talk, like, people think that you don't understand life. It is you that don't know what I'm talking about. You understand life, I know. But I'm talking about a law. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Which makes these common laws ineffective under certain circumstances. It's like Jesus walking up to you and say, I can't sink in water. And you say, oh, God, you don't get the point. He said, I can't sink in water. I say, hey, if I drop inside the ocean, you can just sink. He say, oh, you will think that this man, don't mind, it's not normal. He will look and say, you are ignorant. When he has to walk on water, he walks on water. What I'm going to introduce. Listen, Christians are not normal people. The problem is that we thought we were. Are you getting what I'm saying? If I remember, just to complete that, Jesus, I was telling you, recently something happened. And somebody said, this is tribalism. I said, against me, it doesn't happen. And you know, some people say, I'm leaving this place. This is my driver. I said, no. Some people say, and they will resign because they are treating me like this. I'm going to my state. I said, forget, not Banky. I was born a conqueror. You get my point? I was born a champion. Anywhere I go, I'm above alone and not beneath. That's what carries me around. That's why I've never been afraid to say, hey, go to this place. Go amongst your people. I say, who's my people? You know where my people are? They're all over the world. Everyone who is of faith of Abraham is my people. These are my people. They're everywhere. What am I trying to explain? Listen, natural laws, they have their place in life. But for the believer in Christ Jesus, there is a force that's working inside you that overturns those laws when they don't cooperate with what God wants to do in your life. Let me start my message. That's the introduction. The book of Isaiah chapter 2. So that's why, now you understand what I mean when people say that, this thing works even for Muslims. I say, fine, I don't have a problem with that. But what I'm actually going for, it cannot work if you don't name the name of Jesus. Are you getting my point? It can't. The book of Isaiah chapter 2.